Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, men who are gentle. What'd we think of the uniforms last night, Bob? Let's get to the important stuff. My wife said they look like PennDOT workers, and then I said, well, they wore them in 1933, and she said, no wonder they were bad for so long. She was not a fan. I'm no fashion maven. She said the pants didn't match the shirt, and the shirts were horrendous. That seemed to be the consensus. What did you think, Bob? What did your wife think?
She thought they were fine.
She did?
She likes, yeah. Again, you have to understand, this is 1933. They're throwing back to a season, which was their first. Unfortunately, they brought the three wins with them that season. That's all they had. So I'm not bothered by that stuff at all. I don't care. I like the all-whites from Green Bay.
I
thought the Steelers would do themselves good on the color rush uniform weekend, yeah. Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Do the all-whites with a black helmet.
Bob, they were hideous. The uniforms were hideous.
I don't even look at it that way. If they're trying to throw back to a time, and that was the uniform they chose back then.
I agree with you, actually. I'm wrong, you're right.
I think a lot of people spend too much time on that stuff. I find myself in the same boat sometimes when I see something I really like Denver had their throwbacks.
Oh, the orange crush jerseys.
Yeah, the orange crush jerseys. Yeah, I love those. But again, that's going back to a time that was the uniform back in that time. So,
Mr. P, what'd you think?
Well, your local fashionista here didn't really notice that they didn't match. But I think that they should always have the block numbers as the throwback jerseys regardless. I thought they were okay, but when I saw them on TV for the first time, I was like, whoa, they're a lot worse than I initially thought. What I was really thrown off by was the numbers on the front were white and the numbers on the back were black.
I mean, it was horrifying.
It really was.
I agree with Bob. That was the uniform.
If you're trying to go back and...
I agree with you to a certain extent. They were recapturing 1933. I was there. and that's what they did.
Right.
But maybe back in 1933, people thought they were hideous, too. They were horrifying.
Oh, no. You know how style goes. Yeah. Like, you look back at a picture. Look back at a high school picture of Joe Starkey. You'd probably say, oh, my goodness, how did I look that? I have the same thing. I look back and... Sometimes I'm stunned with how I dressed, how I looked.
Yeah, but that's a fair
things
point.
Evolve.
Ron looked good in high school. Have you ever seen pictures of him in high school at Blackhawk?
I have.
And he was born with a beard. Did you know that?
He came out that way, yes.
Yeah.
And it's never gone away.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 9 matchup between the Indianapolis Colts and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right. On the post game on PXI last night, Doug Whaley, who sits right in that chair on Wednesdays and is very good, by the way, just unloaded on Mike Tomlin. Now, this is via Steelers Depot, this transcription. We couldn't find the audio of this, but we have the transcription. It appears in a story headlined, Doug Whaley blasts Mike Tomlin, questions players' buy-in. You ready for this line? And I quote Whaley here, talking to Jenna Harner. Teams take the characteristics of their head coaches And if you listen to Tomlin, says Whaley, he's a great orator. He's got great one-liners. When you look at this team on paper, you have a Hall of Famer at quarterback. You have two Hall of Famers on the defensive line, a possible Hall of Famer in Ramsey. You've got some young talent. But guess what they don't have? Substance. Just like Mike Tomlin's press conferences. Wow! Doug Whaley! Then he says, when you start thinking about it that way and you start hearing buy-in, my question is, says Whaley, are those guys in the locker room buying into what the coaching staff is putting out there and trying to have them pick up? And he finishes by saying this about the trends. They're talking about the same issues over and over, Whaley said. It's that clip from Brian Kelly who just got fired. We're up here talking about the same things over and over. After a while, there's a saying. You're either coaching it or allowing it, and they have to be doing both because nothing has changed. Doug Whaley with a hammer. How about the Brian Kelly reference limits?
Completely dropped the hammer. Wow.
Yeah.
We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
Bob, what do you make of these comments?
Well, a lot of people have that opinion, I think, if you look at it. But I think Mike Tomlin is very good at what he does in terms of handling press conferences. Yes, he comes up. When you're at a place this long, 19 years, there's nothing new that you can offer that's going to make people think differently about it. So he's doing what he does at press conferences. The bigger issue is, what are you doing in preparation for games? Not only was the defense bad as this game went along, but also the offense now. How many games in a row has it been where they haven't scored more than 7 points in the first quarter? That, to me, you always hear people talking about how teams come out, if they're ready to play. It's gotten a little bit better with Aaron Rodgers, but generally same kind of stuff. They just don't score enough early in games to have one of those games you'd love to have once in a while.
Does Whaley make a point? Are we all wondering whether these guys are buying what Tomlin is selling? I certainly am.
Well, based on some of these performances, you'd have to say yes, but you know, we'll see in the next several weeks. Again, to me, this is always
haven't
a week
we seen
to week.
For the last several years,
yes,
though, Bob?
But I mean, but this we've is... also seen some good performances throughout the course of it that make you change your mind. When I say it's a week to week, that's what it is. I really thought, and I think most people who analyzed this game going into it, although Andrew Filippone was the one who said no, and I agreed with him, the roster Packers have is a better roster top to bottom. But I really
wait,
thought,
what did he say no to?
Well, the general thinking that Pittsburgh was going to win last night because it's Sunday night and they play well, they had extra time to prepare. All those numbers indicated that that could be the case. But then the roster itself is not the same. Green Bay has a better roster, and they have an offensive-minded coach, which has been their problem, stopping those offensive-minded coaches. So when you thought about it, you thought, okay, Green Bay should win. They were favored. But I think all of us who followed it, you know, you have to make a pick. I was not going to be surprised if they somehow won that game. Just as they did when they went to Dublin, you know, and last year there were a few of those games as well where you don't expect them to win and they win. So then you change your narrative, at least for 7 days. And then it comes back with another performance like what we saw yesterday.
But there's a long-standing narrative now.
Yeah, there is.
As Kyle Brandt said, they're the most predictable team in the NFL. Well, they're going to go 9-8, and they're going to lose in the playoffs.
And when you hear guys like Ja'Marr Chase saying that he knew what was coming, that's not a good sign. And it speaks to coaching and scheming.
Man, so, I can't believe that Whaley let all that fly. That is unbelievable limits. He talked about a team that lacks substance, basically like their coach. I mean, I can't read that any other way than him saying that. They lack substance. That his coaching lacks substance and that they are a reflection of that. He's basically saying there he talks a good game, but his players aren't following his lead anymore. That's essentially what Doug Whaley said.
You said at the beginning you were going to put some of the blame on players because I still think that's, you know, when you have this many good players, sooner or later somebody's going to make a play. I don't think
sure, but the players change. The players change year to year.
No, I'm
this
talking
franchise,
about this one.
I know, but the players change year to year, and this franchise hasn't come close to winning a playoff game in nearly a decade, and it's the same things. I'm not going to do the Brian Kelly thing again.
No, but it's
but
true.
It truly is the same things
the same
over
things
and over
with
again.
Starts of games where, again, the playoff ones are dramatic. They've been outscored 73-0 in the first quarter. Again, look at the last, I think it's 54 regular season games. They don't score
57. Yeah.
More than 7 points in the first quarter of a
right.
game.
You that's an NFL record.
Yeah, you can't have more from the beginning. To me, that's also an indication that the preparation is not there, or at least the message and the preparation aren't being sold.
The crazy thing, Bob, is if you could, except for finishing drives, if you could draw up the game beforehand last night, like how you wanted it to go, the first half was it. They ran the ball. They shut down the run. They ended the half with, I thought, a brilliant drive, and they're up 16-7. They could have been up by far more, but then
the halftime adjustment set in, and you got a guy on the other side who's really good at trying to figure out ways to unleash his offense, and he did.
And I thought, who was I watching this morning who really was on that? It was Manti Te'o on NFL Network saying the halftime adjustment was, whereas in the first half, he thought Love was trying to outdo Rodgers and was taking shots down the field that weren't there. He felt like LaFleur must have told Love at halftime, get rid of the ball, go short, and let your guys make plays. And that's what, you look at those 21 passes in a row or whatever it was, most of those were bang, 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 guys missing tackles, just taking the easy stuff and having it turn into better, you know?
Yeah, and the way the Steelers were missing tackles, you had to think that was going to happen. Second half was totally different, and they did change the way they – and then eventually, because they did enough of it, Steelers had to come up and respect that, and then they go down the field even more. And it's always dangerous to me. Anytime you have a tight end, you go back to Hunter Henry, you go back to Mark Andrews, you name any tight end, the Steelers historically have not stopped tight ends. Who matches up against tight ends? Who do they have? I thought Peyton Wilson was going to be one of those guys who can just – with the speed and his ability to get to a spot, can cover a guy like that. Do they have any safeties who can do it? I don't think so. So again, you know, you have one of the better tight ends coming into the game again this week, right? You got Warren.
Oh, don't worry.
He's going to be targeted. I don't know what the over and under on his targets is. I guarantee you whatever it is, I'll go over.
Patrick Queen said their problems against tight ends are going to be fixed up in a hurry. So don't worry, Bob.
Yeah, well, I am worried.
That won't be a problem.
Because that never goes away.
Whaley also cited a lack of discipline as a troubling defensive theme, and man, it sure is. I don't know what the hell they're doing. I really don't. How do you allow that guy just to walk off the line wide open?
You know, coaches. Fourth and one, you mean?
The whole game. Coaches want us to believe.
Fourth and one was just. Yeah, again, if you're going to make that call, you better make sure he's accounted for, and he totally was
inexcusable.
Free.
Coaches want us to believe it's a very complicated game. Sometimes it's simple. Sometimes it's backyard football. Let's put that guy on that guy and maybe two guys on him because he's their best talent. He's their most talented player. And if we're going to lose, let's not let him beat us. Well, 2 weeks in a row, not only have they let one guy largely beat them, but they didn't even make an effort to stop him. Like there was no adjustment once they started getting cooked by Ja'Marr Chase and in this case, Tucker Kraft. In fact, it got worse as the game went along. I mean, it was incredible to watch.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like everybody. I picture tens of thousands of people screaming, what are you doing? Why isn't anybody covering him? It's incredible to watch, Bob. Well, and it speaks to a lack of discipline. And by the way,
lack of communication, lack of preparation for these kinds of situations. They talk about situational football all the time. Well, these are situations that should be paramount importance to them. You know, especially on fourth down short, you got to have everyone accounted for. They didn't. on that play, and they certainly let it. Those guys are wide open. You look. So this morning, going back and look at some of the tape.
Yeah.
On replay. And we'll get a look at it later on the All-22 tape, which really shows you a lot. But you could see guys, and he missed one guy who was Jordan Love missed, I forget who it was, who was wide open. He could have had an easy touchdown late in the game, and he didn't hit him. But there were guys, again, too open. You have to stop them at the line of scrimmage if you're going to play the short game. Disrupt them. Who was it? He was wide open. Jordan Love missed him. He could have had an even bigger.
Oh, late night. In the game for a touchdown. That was Golden at the goal line.
The rookie.
He would have had five touchdowns.
He was
total
wide
miscommunication.
Open.
Total miscommunication.
You can't do that, so.
I thought, based on Tomlin's comments in the preseason, they were going to get right up in your face at the line and play old school Mel Blunt man on man. Do we have that quote? No disrespect to the Cincinnati Bengals, but we're going to line up and cover people man to man. This was Tomlin on Ryan Clark's podcast when Clark suggested that Joey Porter was a number one corner, Slay's still a guy who can cover people, Ramsey's a number one. Like this was going to be epic. This was Mike Tomlin back then.
With that collection of guys that you mentioned, I feel like we could do it against anybody. No disrespect to Cincinnati or anybody else that has an elite group, but that's just the level of confidence that we have in that collective.
The level of delusion there and misevaluation of people like Darius Slay is almost breathtaking. And who in the world and who in their right mind, including Ryan Clark, considers Joey Porter Jr. to be a number one cornerback in the NFL? You have to be out of your mind to believe that. Could he still become that? Maybe. It's been a while now. But anyone who believes that now, you're seriously deluded.
And they have a decision to make on him because this coming season, they have to decide if they're going to pay him or not. As of this moment, the answer should be no on that. They haven't seen enough of it. He made another grab last night. He got called for a defensive holding. And all those guys, you know, I questioned Slay at $10 million when they signed him to a one-year deal. Not that he didn't have the resume to command something, but $10 million seemed like an awful stretch given the fact that he's 33 or 34. And he
missing
looks at,
tackles left and right.
He missed
you know.
A lot of tackles. They all did.
And the other guys they brought in, missing tackles left and right. And like I said earlier, he's tried to go soft in coverage with a four-man rush. And yesterday he told Tony Dungy, I'm gonna turn him loose tonight, and he did. And all that did was allow Jordan Love to absolutely pick them apart in man-to-man. You had guys on an island, and sometimes there was no island, Bob. There was just a body of water.
Yeah.
A body of water you can sail free.
They were treading water the whole night trying to stay afloat, and it just didn't work.
Limits, let's head back to the phones, if you might.
I would love that, Joe. Let's go to our guy, Emmanuel Carnegie, to chime in.
Hello, Emmanuel.
Hey, man.
This is Emmanuel Sanders. Are you still in shape? Can you come in?
The funny thing is my name ends with a Z instead of an S. That's how close we get. But I remember, Joe, you made a topic 2 weeks ago. Do we owe the Steelers an apology? I'll be the first to apologize. I apologize because I thought our defense would be a top 10 defense. And with our offense, the way it is constructed, I thought we'll be 11-6. I'm going to be the first one to throw the towel in. I'm not going to any more games. I mean, we can add pieces on offense, but I also don't think the Bengals or Cowboys are making the playoffs. We got to be at least a top 10 defense. They're getting paid as a top 2 defense.
They're getting paid as a top 1 defense. No one else is close to them in terms of resources allocated to their defense.
So I do apologize. The season is over. Even if we make the playoffs, like, we're missing one piece, and that piece is a time clock. The players are too old. TJ Watt has lost a step. And, like, we don't have the mojo on the defensive end. Nobody's intimidated. They're throwing passes. It looks like backyard football. The running game, you know what I mean? Like, there's no intimidation. And the fact that I was at the game yesterday, 45% of the crowd was rooting for Green Bay. It was just embarrassing. And when they play a running game, it's not intimidating no more. Like, this defense is
Tell me more about that, Emmanuel. Tell me more about, because we were going to talk about that next anyway. Adam Crowley had a great rant today about the atmosphere inside of Acrisure Stadium. You figure 45% Packer fans, and they took over the stadium.
Like that.
Yeah,
it felt it felt like that. And then into the fourth quarter, they had so much momentum, and it felt like we were kind of pressing offensively. Then we were trying to take shots down the field instead of continuing to do what we were doing in the first half. It felt like we panicked offensively. We were down by only 2 points. And that two-point conversion that they ran, the Packers, nobody's going to talk about it. But the receivers
wide
were wide open.
Rob said nobody was on him at all.
Yeah. If we would have gave up, made a stop there, which we had, 10 days to prepare, maybe it was only a one-point game. Even if they score, it's an eight-point ball game. We have a chance to tie it at the end. That play alone. And then, you know, it just felt like we didn't have a plan, and we panicked again. Like, it's bad. I'm sorry. I apologize for, you know, picking us to go 11-6. I kind of picked with my heart, but also I thought this defense is going to be at least top 10. I'm not even asking us to be a top 5 defense. Top 10 would have gotten us into the playoffs and probably a playoff win.
They're not even top 29. I appreciate the call, Emmanuel. Bob,
they're dead last.
What did you sense about what were people?
Dead last.
Yeah, well, they're dead last in pass defense, right?
Yes.
And 30th in overall defense. What were people saying about the vibe inside of Acrisure last?
Well,
night?
First of all, Packer fans are like Steeler fans, and they travel. And we saw this a few years ago when San Francisco came into this place, and it was Brock Purdy who was ripping apart their defense, and you heard those guys very loudly. The one thing you should do is take them out of the game and score points early and make them silent, but that wasn't the case, and it wasn't last night either. First half, not so much, because they only had 7 points, but when things started to crank, I mean, the difference was very loud, and, you know, a lot of people were saying, how does this happen? Well, I tell you, it's simply supply and demand, I think. You have people who have season tickets, and they've had them for many decades. And, you know, many of them probably spend all their money on football. And that's their passion. That's what they're going to do. Now you have people offering $10,000 for 4 tickets. A lot of people offering crazy money. And in this day and age, some people need that money. And they're going to make that call.
Do the people who already have Steelers season tickets need that money?
Well, I think some of them are just passionate fans. And they spend a lot of their money on football, yes.
But if the Steelers were putting out a really, really compelling product, I don't think you'd see situations like
maybe
last
not
night.
But you still see some who would go for the money, you know. I'm just
sure.
saying I saw some people down in the strip district over the weekend. They were offering $2,000 a seat to get in. They wanted to pay that money. I'm just saying, if you're one of these guys,
I still think, and we'll get Crowley next, I think that was an embarrassing night for the Steelers franchise,
especially as they got louder
when
as
your
the game
home quarterback is on a silent count in Pittsburgh.
Well, that's, you know, I don't know if that happened in the San Francisco game, but it certainly happened last night, according to Aaron Rodgers. So he was the guy who had to deal with that. You don't expect to hear that for sure. But I'm offering a reason why people would do it.
For
sure. You disagree with that?
People go for the money, but if the Steelers were really good and really hot in this town right now, then you wouldn't see what you saw last night.
I agree.
This isn't a game-to-game thing. This is now almost a decade worth of disappointment, quite frankly.
Yes.
Almost a decade's worth. And the chickens are starting to come home to roost now, as far as people not really thinking to themselves, would I rather take the money or go out on a Sunday night and watch this team when I'm taking a chance on seeing what I've seen for the better part of a decade now?
Right.
Which is, I don't know what I'm going to get, and I might get something not good, and we all know where it's going to end anyway. I don't think this happens 10 years ago, do you?
No, but I think also because of a lot of things, inflation, how much it costs to do everything, people are motivated to do that if they have a chance. I agree with you, though. If this team was 7-1 like the Colts and they were to talk of the NFL and they're destroying opponents like they are, they're plus 166 in the point differential. That's the Indy Colts. They're just ripping it up, setting records. I think then you're less motivated to sell those tickets.
Either you're a really hot ticket or you're not. And they're not really right now.
Right. And so I just think it's human nature. Some people, if you're offered that kind of money, you probably say, okay, for one game, I'll take it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.